Fixer, are you looking forward to the holidays?
Actually, I am this year. The holidays are looking a little bit promising, and it's kind of been revitalized by the my niece. So, it's fun.
That's adorable, but I mean, are you going to fix anybody?
Is this her very first Fixmas?
This is her... Actually, no, technically, this is her second Fixmas.
That's technically. Beautiful.
Yeah, but I accidentally had to fix her, though, because my brother wants to set up the train around the tree, and I just don't trust her. So I'm like, because my train is like 16 years old, man. Like, I don't even know if I can even buy parts for the thing if she breaks it.
So if she breaks it, I know someone who can fix it.
Oh, yeah? Who's that guy?
The Fixer.
Oh!
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for late December 3rd, 2010. Hello everybody, this is Michael Minotti. I am joined by my brother Ajguy.
Greetings.
And our good friend Fixer, aka Kevin Miller.
Yeah!
Good old metal, yeah! but we got a great show today. We're going to start off with the news, then we're going to go straight to Either Or. We haven't done Either Or in a bit. This should be fun.
Actually, I don't even know what Either Or is. So this is
You'll learn.
I think we did Either Or last time when we had this conversation where you were like, I don't know what Either Or is. Maybe I'm wrong, though.
Let's see if I remember it. I'll let you know then.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just being a jerk. Anyways,
I remember the trivia game with Ajguy.
Oh, well, we're not doing that. We have too many games to talk about.
Yeah.
Our week of games can be very long because we brought you on specifically because you like Gran Turismo a lot. So you're going to talk about Gran Turismo for us. Me and AJ will be talking about Epic Mickey and probably WoW also because
Cataclysm just came out.
Well, the patch for Cataclysm
came out. Yeah.
Oh.
So a lot of new content.
Most of it's actually there already, really.
Or basically, the only thing you're missing is the new zones for
80-85 and two races.
Yeah. Anywho, let's get going with the news.
Okay. So, EA is now saying that movie licenses are going the wrong way for games publishers. I wonder if this has to do with Harry Potter.
Basically, you see my review?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, a little self-promotion here, but I helped review Harry Potter. Still
yeah,
a little bit more
second opinion.
Jasmine was, she kind of did the main review. I was the second opinion. We both gave it a three.
Not gonna lie, I thought you were doing the main review, and I started reading it, and I was like, this doesn't sound like Mike's writing. I was like, it's not him.
My writing doesn't sound like my writing.
I do like her, though. I read her articles a lot, so.
Oh, yeah, Jasmine.
Tell her, you know, I like her writing style.
I'll go out of the way to tell her that Fixer likes her. She'll have no idea what I'm saying.
That's huge, like...
that's giant praise.
That's sponsorship, you couldn't believe.
No, she should be flattered. Mm-hmm. Continue, Ajguy.
Yeah, basically, what he's saying is the whole movie game business is, quote, falling apart. And it's just like, it doesn't make sense anymore for them to rely on movie licenses when gaming IP is becoming so strong these days. When you look at things like Dead Space is the example they use for EA, where like they could say, you know, this is something we own, we could develop it at our own pace, we're not a slave to anybody else. Like, what is the sense of doing a movie game when it, like, you know, you're rushed to do it, and it comes out, and people generally don't like them.
Yeah. Right. I mean, seriously, how many movie games have actually come out that you could honestly say, I really honestly did enjoy this game?
At least there's timely movie release one.
Yeah, because like, you have stuff like Chronicles of Riddick, but that was just like kind of using the IP. It didn't really tie in anything.
Yeah, it wasn't like a movies game. It didn't have anything really to do with the movie. It just used the IP, which that was a fantastic idea, because that game was great.
That was a good game.
Next.
Let's see. Apparently, at one time, Bungie considered putting the space combat portion of Halo Reach in as a multiplayer mode. They basically didn't because they didn't feel it'd be worth the time invested to make it to the quality level they wanted, and they were worried there actually wasn't enough there to support like long-term multiplayer.
There probably wasn't.
Yeah, it works well as like the time you play it in single player. I think it'd be neat if, now that Bungie's kind of on their own, like if they further developed it and made their own space combat game. I feel like the cards are in the deck for that.
What, Bungie's going to make another space game? That's what you want? More space?
Well, outer space. Not just through space. Never mind. Well, anyway. So we're probably going to be seeing Uncharted 3 revealed at the VGAs.
Woo!
Yeah.
Strong rumor has it that Uncharted 3 will be set in a desert, which I think is a pretty good idea.
Which one?
Didn't specify.
You know, the funny thing was, I forget where I actually read this at, but, like, they brought up the obvious coincidence that, you know, like, between the Indiana Jones movies, you know, the first one take a place with a little bit of the South American type of feel going for it. Then the second one obviously taking place in, like, the Nepalese, India kind of region. And then the third one, if it is true, taking place out in the desert, same thing with the Last Crusade.
Well, the first one... The first Uncharted was kind of weird because it wasn't as globe-trotting as the second one was.
Right, it was just...
Yeah.
Same thing with Indiana Jones 2, really. Not nearly as... I mean, by 2, I mean Temple of Doom. Not nearly as globe-trotting as the Raiders and Crusade.
Yeah.
Right. And, even if there is a desert level in Uncharted 3, it's not like the whole thing's going to take place in a desert.
No, right. I'm
sure it'll have
that.
Variety, just like 2 did.
Right, well, exactly. Yeah, 2, you know, that's like what we saw, like, the snow place. You know, you don't get there until, like, 3/4, well, at least halfway through the game.
Starts there.
Well,
I'm kidding.
So the Uncharted 3 desert, we all agree that sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
You know, it doesn't sound cool.
What's that?
The Uncharted movie that David Russell wants to make.
Didn't we talk about this last week?
No, but we have story details now. You didn't hear this?
Oh, what's this now?
Oh, good fucking lord. So here's what David O. Russell has to say about what he's doing with the Uncharted movie. This idea really turns me on that there's a family that's a force to be reckoned with in the world of international arts and antiquities. A family that deals with heads of state and heads of museums and mates out justice.
That doesn't sound anything like Uncharted.
I don't think he's actually making an Uncharted movie.
I don't think he knows anything about Uncharted.
Yeah, I think he's just stealing the IP is really what he's doing.
I don't understand, like, why can't he just make a movie?
Because this way he'll at least get, like, some sort of built-in audience, he hopes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bullshit.
Stupid. He thinks he's going to recapture the family dynamics of I Heart Huckabees.
Yeah, I don't think so. Here's my new rule. We're not talking about this movie anymore. Mm-hmm. It's banned.
Honestly?
That's
honestly,
how much I don't
I
like
don't,
about it.
I really don't think it's going to happen.
Here's my only thing. This is the only thing I want to say in this movie. I know you just said we're not talking about this anymore, but I have only one thing to say.
Well, Fixer, you're of course, you know, my rules don't apply to you. You're the Fixer. So go ahead.
The only thing I have for this movie that will make it any bit enjoyable is it's finally the reunion of De Niro and Pesci. Other than that, it doesn't make sense.
I don't understand. Reunion from what, though?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know the exact last movie, but I'm pretty sure, I'm almost 95% sure it was Casino. And that was 15 years ago.
See, I'm not much into these mobster movies, so this reunion means nothing to me.
Oh, I love it, especially Scorsese.
I'd rather see Pesci reunited with the other burglar.
I know you said that, but I am a huge, absolutely huge Scorsese fan.
All right,
so
well,
I mean, even though this is a
movie
Scorsese,
podcast, all right, what's next?
I would enjoy it.
Let's see, we got the date for Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam. Comes out December 21st. Dude, I think that's going to be cool.
Oh, yeah. I saw a nice little trailer today about that.
That's great. It's a kind of expansion pack for a game that came out in the summer. Awesome. Where everyone's playing Call of Duty now. No one cares. Next.
Okay. They have said that they still have 10 more characters to reveal for Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
What? Did everybody forget that this list was pretty much outed?
I think so.
And that list had proven to pretty much be correct a long time ago. We know the roster. I don't know why, like, it's like not like a wind-down thing, though. But, like, yeah, the roster's out there. We know everyone that's going to be in it, so
okay.
Enough of that.
Christopher Nolan has confirmed that they're working on an Inception video game.
Interesting. Actually, this is an either-or, so we're going to have to move on from now.
Yeah. Okay, then. Moving on. The Xbox Live Rewards program has launched. You can go to Xbox.com, sign up for it. It's a free sign-up, but you do have to opt into it. Basically, you just kind of get points for doing things you were probably doing anyway, like renewing your membership for a year gets you 200 Microsoft points. Select content might get you some bonus points. If you use Netflix, you get 100 points. Stuff like that.
Whoop-de-doo.
Okay.
I mean, I don't hate it, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you feel rewarded for, you know, buying the service and using the service and using, like, its full extremities, but whatever.
Okay.
Fixer doesn't even have an Xbox Live account.
Well, that's because my Xbox is dead and I refuse to buy a new one.
Okay. No.
Did you guys hear about PETA's response to Super Meat Boy?
I did hear about this.
They made Super Tofu Boy, which apparently was like some poor knockoff attempt.
Well, PETA has done this before. They made that weird Super Mario Brothers platform where you played as a chicken.
Yeah, they also made the like cooking mama that was like mama brutally murdering turkeys. So apparently the guy who makes Super Meat Boy, he kind of admitted to purposely maybe egging them on a bit in their forums, hoping to see if something would happen.
I don't even understand. What exactly is it about P1. Super Meat Boy that's offensive?
I know, just because it's a character made of meat. But it, even like he said, it's not that he's made of meat. He's just a guy with no skin. In the deep mythos of Super Meat Boy.
Right, I was about to say, like, his... Like, the meat aspect is not really played up at all. Yeah, no. It's not like a story about him, about meat.
Isn't it like a side-to-side, like, platformer type of deal?
Kind of.
Yes, Flickster. Welcome to the party.
Yeah. Anyway, so what he's doing for the next PC patch, for the recently released PC version, he's making Tofu Boy a playable character.
I just say, it kind of... Flickster applauds. I mean, it's cool and all that there's a lot of extra characters for the PC version. I feel kind of gypped, though, because I have the Xbox version. And there's a lot of extra characters on the PC version.
Yeah, and he adds more all the time.
I was about to say, what the heck? And the PC version, I don't want to play the PC version. I hear the controls for it don't make a lot of sense.
Well, there was a bug that I think has been since fixed, but like only the Xbox controllers were working. Mm. The other ones weren't.
Yeah. Next.
All right, so we have some more information on OnLive's flat rate plan that they were talking about.
Oh, thank God we have more information on this. I've been waiting all week for the information on OnLive.
Fixer's getting
it. What? Fixer doesn't even know what the hell an OnLive is.
I know what OnLive is, you jackass.
I'm joking. All right, go ahead, AJ.
Basically, $10 a month gets you like back catalog and older titles, like unlimited play. So it's really analogous to Netflix.
Did you buy stock in OnLive or something?
No, I just really because
you
like
seem to
idea.
Shield the product out quite a bit on this podcast.
Look, they're actually
yeah, that was my phone.
Turn off your damn phone.
No.
Anyway, it's in beta right now. If you have one of the micro consoles, you actually get free access to the service. Excuse me, until January 14th, or 15th. Excuse me.
Man, I was poning you too, and I got called.
See,
totally lost. You.
I mean, it's pretty good. You get games like some of the games are like Prince of Persia. I think Splinter Cell is.
I will only accept that answer if they have The Warrior Within.
They don't have. I mean, it's all stuff that's on the service now. But what they said they plan to do with this is introduce games to OnLive that aren't necessarily they weren't made for OnLive, but they'll work. So like you know, like an OnLive game when you play it, like it'll actually say in the menu like exit to OnLive, and that's all set. So it'll say like exit to Windows because they didn't specifically code it.
In a way, this kind of reminds me of like a neat different type of version of almost like Xbox Live, which is kind of cool.
Whatever, please.
I think it'll get a lot more attractive as they add more games. I mean, right now the selection's kind of thin, but give it a few months, I think.
This thing's new.
I mean, you can't like be shelling out money when you don't even know if you know the product's not. Probably not heavily tested yet.
The product's not heavily tested, but more importantly, it's not heavily marketed. The only way you would ever even know something existed if you were like a blog surfer, like someone like us who goes on Kotaku and Joystick and whatever.
If you know where to look for it, you know that's about it. Like I didn't see it on TV. I didn't see it on magazines.
You're not even seeing the magazines. How is anyone going to know anything about this?
No, not at all.
You raise a good point.
They need better marketers.
I think they just need marketers.
Yeah.
Anywho, one game that does pretty well for itself is Team Fortress 2, which has just launched a public beta for a bunch of new changes that will be coming to the game. You could opt into it through Steam. They're basically testing new weapons, class changes, some new maps, and what they're calling large-scale game variations.
What happens?
What do you mean large-scale game
variations? Evaluate on this, please.
I don't know.
Oh.
It doesn't really say anything more than that.
I sometimes wonder if... In their sort of efforts to constantly be adding things to Team Fortress 2, if they're almost doing too much sometimes.
They're over-seasoning the meat?
Right, we had this actually. We kind of talked about the Team Fortress stew, haven't we?
Yes.
That's a big thing where we said that they're putting too many things into that stew. Like, the updates are cool, but, like, all the updates need to be at this point are maps. That's what I want. Like, you know, give me another Capture the Flag map, another payload. I don't necessarily need all these new items.
Yeah, I would say, like, you know, I don't play this game. But what I would say, you know, do new maps, maybe do new classes, maybe do new game types.
Well, new classes is hard because there's a whole
yeah,
balance
that
about.
I wouldn't.
I realize
I don't think
that.
I even want that.
There's already a lot in that game to begin with, even default. But, you know, like, if you'd even, like, mixed up, you know, where, like, the heavy gunner, for instance, you know, if you want to make him more of an area of an effect type of attacker rather than just a single one, single target, you know, shit like that. That's what I mean by character upgrades or different character developments.
I always kind of thought there was room for a jetpack character.
That would be cool.
Oh, you basically have rocket jumping.
Kind weak of weapon, but mobility the best, you know? That would balance him out. Yeah, kind of like that. But except the scout has a sniper rifle. Right?
Next.
Does he have a sniper rifle?
He has a scatter gun.
The sniper
That's
has
it.
A sniper rifle.
That's yes. it. It's been a while since I played Team Fortress.
Clearly.
I'm sorry.
Next. Poor okay. Fixer indulges us with more of his Team Fortress 2 instead.
The expertise of the game he does not play.
I'm
anyway.
Sorry. I'm joking. Well, don't fix me, please. Don't come down here and kill me.
So, anyway, here's a game I don't play. EverQuest 2. Apparently.
Wait,
you lie.
You lie. Fix it, calling you out.
I play
you
EverQuest 2 all the time.
You're an EverQuest 2 addict.
Fanboy.
All you do is play EverQuest 2 and it's...
Final Fantasy.
I'm playing EverQuest 2 right now.
I bet, in the background.
I couldn't tell you the first goddamn thing about EverQuest 2.
Is it even American?
It had nice music.
I don't know a damn thing about it. What is it? Is it like EverQuest 1?
Kinda.
It's EverQuest 1, but twice as large.
Is it? Wasn't it big thing that there was a lot of voice acting in it?
Uh-huh.
Is there still?
I guess.
Tell me about what EverQuest 2 is up to, please.
Well, apparently they, for a number of years now, have been considering basically doing the EverQuest version of Cataclysm.
Interesting.
But of course, now they're talking about...
Fixer's applauding again.
I don't even know I'm plotting too.
I didn't know either. Please continue, Asgard.
So yeah, I mean that's basically kind of it. Like they're saying that they actually think like what Blizzard's doing with World of Warcraft is phenomenal, and you know
that interview is basically the guy talking up the EverQuest 2 guy talking about how great Blizzard is.
Pretty much.
Like, oh wow. Man, I think he has a World of Warcraft account. I don't think he plays EverQuest 2.
Here's the problem though, like. The Cataclysm in WoW is exciting to us because, like, I mean, I'll talk about more later, but so many of these zones that I'm so familiar with are now completely different. It's kind of cool to see that. If you gave me a copy of EverQuest 2 and said, every zone's crazy now, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I mean, he's really talking up and praising his obvious competition.
It's not even competition at this point.
Yeah.
No, it still is. I mean, that you're still doing an MMO. Whether you actually can make a dent in World of Warcraft or not, you're still a competition. This is no different than Chevy and Ford going, well, you know, I make the Camaro. However, that Mustang, that new 5.0, that's damn good. Wow, that's an amazing product. No,
it's like Anderson Varejao from the Cavs giving LeBron James a big hug before the game yesterday.
Seriously?
Did you not watch the Heat-Cavs game?
No, I didn't have anywhere to watch it.
Yeah, good for you. Let's move on, because I would go in a
yeah,
whole
honestly,
tirade.
Yeah, honestly, I praise you. You are lucky.
No, let's right, move on.
Yeah, let me move on. Where am I moving on to? Oh, yes. So, Twisted Pixel has made what I think is one of the more brilliant announcements I've ever seen. Coming in fall 2011, Ms. Splosion Man.
Clearly a callback to Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah, which I think is hilarious. Oh, I can't believe no one's ever thought of that.
It doesn't star the Ms.?
No, not WWE
MS period.
World Champion.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Ms. I like Fixer's idea.
Yeah,
Ms.
you see where I'm going there?
Splosion Man.
I think we could sell this idea.
Let's keep going. Let's move on, though. As great as it is.
Let's see. Sony wants you to party like it's 2002. They're selling. I believe this is just in the UK. It's a 720p HD TV with a PlayStation 2 built into it. I really don't. It's a 22 incher. Like, I don't understand who's going to look at this and be like, yeah.
I read this today. Here's the only thing I can say on that. I mean, let's just demograph this thing for children, okay? First off.
I guess, yeah.
It's a cheap TV. It doesn't cost much. It's got a... We're TVs of that size, because it's not a big TV, you know? What was it, 22-inch?
22, yeah.
Yeah. It's not a big TV. It's made for a bedroom TV, size TV. And where that size typically has a DVD player, well, this one has a PS2. You can do DVD, movie, or game.
Kind of so, neat.
Yeah.
All right. You actually just made it sound okay. Good job.
Thank you. Sure. That was my job for 5 years. Thank you very much. And your current job, AJ.
That is true.
Hey, what department do you work in, real quick?
Portable electronics.
Oh, there you go.
My primary zone.
Sell the pods.
Secondaries, yes, and I do media and PCs.
All right, guys. This Best Buy talk is fascinating.
I just wanted it real quick. That's all I wanted to know.
All right, my final news story and a nice little note here. The Civ 4 theme, Baba Yetu, has been nominated for a Grammy, making it the first video game music ever nominated for a Grammy.
Wait.
Really?
Wow. Wait, yeah. Wait, that's... Baba Yetu's nominated for a Grammy?
Yeah.
But wait, how can it be now?
Well, the guy who wrote it, Christopher Tin, he had his own album come out, Calling All Dawns, and the song is part of the album, and so that's how it got nominated.
Now, what exactly is it nominated for?
Where's the title? Best Instrumental Arrangement Accompanying Vocalist.
Hmm.
I'm honestly really surprised. With all the great, like, composition pieces that have ever existed in video games, I'm honestly really surprised that this is ever the first time one's ever been considered for a Grammy. So, props to them.
Yeah. And that's all I got. All
right, then. Are you guys ready?
That was a damn good news section.
Thank you.
Wow, AJ, you should feel honored.
I am.
So now, you ready for either or, guys?
Either or. Sorry. Explain the rules, please.
All right, here's how it works. There's 10 sort of things here. You pick one or the other. So I'll say chocolate or vanilla. And then
easy.
Then you'll tell me which one you like, which one you pick, and why.
Is this a race?
No. There's at the end, there's a lightning round, and then time matters in the lightning round. But you are being scored for points here. I'm scoring the argument.
Okay.
Okay, so AJ is going to start first.
Let's do this.
The first one, AJ. Gran Turismo or Forza?
I'm going to go with Forza. Here's why. First of all, no, I have not played GT5, so I can't make a direct comparison. A lot of what I'm saying is based on things I've read and looked at on GT5 versus playing Forza. Gran Turismo, and even the ones I have played in the past, they've always felt a little, I think the word I want is sterile to me, where, yes, it's like a really great car simulator, and I can appreciate that, but Forza manages to be more entertaining to someone like me who is casually interested in cars, but I don't want to, like, tune gear ratios. Then something I found out about GT5 that I didn't know about this, and I kind of found it odd. Like, they talk about how many thousand cars are in the game or whatever. But I found out that the game actually, and it's in-game, it's a distinction between standard and premium cars, where the premium cars are the ones that got the most attention put in them and their models and their interiors and everything like that. And there's even some cars that have a premium and standard version in the game. And, like, when you see the two side-by-side, it's really noticeable, like, that those look better. I don't understand, like, I think I'd rather just have them have fewer cars that all look that good, rather than making a split, especially since, like I said, with that many cars, you like only the diehards are going to race that many. And just, you know, you look at the way, like there's social and online integration and Forza and everything like that, and I just think it's the better game. I might concede that GT5 is the better sim, but I think Forza is the better game.
Fixer, Forza or Gran Turismo?
That is honestly, I have to admit, a really good argument. And props to you on that one.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to have honest, I mean, I have played Forza before, and it's fine. Me, I am just used to GT franchise. I do go with that one, but it's, you honestly make a great point, and honestly, the only reason why I am picking GT is because it goes the step beyond the casual. You know, I'm not even calling Forza a casual game, because it's definitely not, but it's just where you can do the gear ratios. You know, I dig that thing. I don't own a muscle car or any type of supercar. So, no, I don't know exactly what gears I should set up to do the quickest 0 to 60 mile an hour time. but for the fact that I can do it, it just boggles my mind. Yes, I'm going to talk about the premium and the standard, all that kind of stuff later in my review for it. But I agree with you on that. But beyond that, though, the visuals are pretty, except if you look at dogs in the background.
Yeah.
That's how I am about that.
With pancakes on their heads. But beyond that, though, I mean, I just like the fact that, let's just say for sake of argument, you go out to, all right, I'm not even going to go that very expensive of a vehicle. Let's just go to Hyundai. And let's just say you want to go with the Genesis Coupe. Let's say you're kind of, you know, you're not on the fritz. You took it for a test drive, but you don't exactly know yet if you really want it. You can just buy the damn thing on Gran Turismo and just drive it. And that's how you know if you like it. Because the car is going to react exactly like how it will in real life. That's something I really like about it. And for the realistic part and the part that goes that extra mile, that's why I do pick the Gran Turismo series on this one.
Well, considering that Fixer praised Azguy's argument so much, I guess I'm going to give him the point on that one.
Root.
Point Azguy.
Well,
next.
I understand. Trust me.
Next, Fixer, you start on this one. The Uncharted movie has potential or disaster waiting to happen?
Realistically, this is disaster, man. You know, the only thing, like I said earlier, is that it's cool that, you know, pretty much I'm going to have to say, you know, it's Pesci and De Niro together. And basically, other than that, I mean, it's failure. I mean, it does absolutely nothing to do where if you are an Uncharted fan, you're not going to basically enjoy the movie. Because, I mean, it doesn't even follow anybody. There's, besides the character of Nathan Drake, there's nobody confirmed to actually be anybody. There's no Sullivan, there's no Elena, nothing. I mean, it doesn't at all follow that. So even if they are trying to get the video game crowd, they're actually just accidentally alienating them. And then they're also trying to get the mediocre crowd to buy into a Indiana Jones movie that's not Indiana Jones. So, absolute failure, I'm sorry.
Did you call the mainstream crowd the mediocre crowd? Because that is great. I know that was an accident, but I like that, the mediocre crowd. Azguy.
Yeah, this movie's, like I said, I don't even think it's going to end up happening.
They have actors and confirmed.
Did they confirm De Niro and Pesci? Is he saying he wants?
Well,
to
you,
get
you
them?
At the least you Wahlberg have did. Wahlberg confirmed.
Wahlberg said something. Right.
Yeah, I know Wahlberg.
Like I talked to Bob, and he talked to his friend Pesci.
Yeah, and he didn't even. Wahlberg hasn't even read the script. Like Russell explained it to him. He's like, oh, okay. But like, here's my. I won't go through the whole laundry list of fears I have with this movie. But like Kevin said, like I was saying earlier. It doesn't even have anything to do with the games. It's got a character named Nathan Drake and the title of Uncharted on the poster, and it sounds like that's it. Like, big friggin' whoop. That's going to be awesome. We saw how well that worked for Mario. Then...
What are you talking about? That movie was great. It had Dennis Hopper.
Yeah. Then, like, you look at David Russell's track record for getting movies made in a timely manner. It doesn't happen. Like, he takes a long time to make stuff, but it's like things like I Heart Huckabees or like this boxer movie is coming out, which are kind of more art films anyway, so like it's kind of okay. But when you're making like a summer blockbuster using an established IP for a big studio, they're not going to fuck around with that. If he starts dragging his feet, I think they're going to have problems. And either the project will continue without him or they'll just cancel it outright. And the other thing that worries me too, like Al Pacino is a phenomenal actor, don't get me wrong. But he can and does sometimes phone it in if it's a shitty movie. And something tells me you put him in this movie. Or did I say Pacino? Wait.
Yeah, I was going to. I didn't want to interrupt you. It's De Niro.
De Niro. I meant De Niro. I was saying Pacino. Anyway, he's very capable of phoning it in. And he very well may for something like this. I don't see it working on any level as presented right now. Like, it just none of it would work. I don't understand why it's even happening.
Because it's a million-dollar franchise that has proven to sell against all the odds. That's the only reason I have for you, that why they're even making it.
Here's another thing, too, that why I don't think this needs to happen. video game movies in the past were kind of a novelty because you took something like the 8-bit sprites of Mario or like the really primitive polygons of Tomb Raider, and all of a sudden it was real. It was on the big screen. And it was like, but Uncharted doesn't need that.
No, it doesn't. You know,
it already is that.
It is a movie that you play. Like, that's why I like Uncharted.
There's nothing gained by making it a movie. It's actually less appealing because I don't get to play it.
I mean, honestly, the only video game movie that I liked and honestly felt like, yeah, this represents the game franchise is Silent Hill.
I never saw that, actually, but I heard good things.
That captured it, you know, like, Prince of Persia was okay. It was a cool action summer flick, but it didn't capture the essence of the games. But right. Silent Hill did.
Fixer, you're winning this one unless you keep going on and on about video game movies. Point Fixer. Edgar loses it for mixing up Pacino and Pedro.
Yeah, I know.
You can't do that. Those are the two most prominent Dago actors ever.
I knew it was going to happen. As soon as I said it, I was like, shit.
Next, for AJ. 2012 is too late for the Old Republic, or it's the right time for the Old Republic.
Now, they didn't say for sure 2012. They just said not before April 2011.
Okay, then that.
Okay.
Let's assume 2012-ish here.
I don't... It runs the risk of the visuals becoming slightly dated, because we've been seeing them for so long. Honestly, it'll depend if WoW is doing anything by 2012. Because it's very possible by 2012 we could be hearing at least rumblings of the next WoW expansion. Here's one thing, actually, why I'm a little more hopeful for Knights for the Old Republic, having played WoW post-Cataclysm patch. WoW is, when you break down the fundamentals of the game, it's a very traditional MMO, where you've got your action bar, your skills, auto-combat, and everything like that. But with this new content patch, I have done things in this game that I thought were incredibly innovative, really fun, some of the coolest things I've done in a game that still worked with that framework. Which makes me think that, you know, it means that Tor can also do cool things like this. Even
though
wait a second.
By that logic, then any MMO can do cool things.
Well, right, can. I know you get pissed at me when I say shit like this. But it's one thing when, like, some smaller studio is going to try to do something like that. And it's another thing when BioWare, with all this money from EA, tries. If anyone was going to be able to match Blizzard in terms of its innovation, I think it's BioWare. So, the only thing I worry about, like a late 2011, 2012 date, like I said, might be the graphics might start to feel dated because we've been seeing them. But I feel like the game itself will be fine.
Fixer.
Honestly, by 2012, I think this game will be fine. Basically, what I'm going to have to go off on this one is, if this were any other MMO, that might be, you know, kind of risky. Because, you know, it's 2 years in advance. This game was announced, if I'm not mistaken, what was that, 2 years ago? Was it E3 2 years ago? Maybe 3 years ago?
Yeah, it was some time ago now.
Yeah, they kind of announced it because people pretty much figured it out.
Exactly. But for the fact that it carries a Star Wars name, it doesn't matter. It's going to sell like hotcakes. This game will be just fine. I can agree with the fact that you said within 2 years, the graphic detail they have and the textures and that such, that could be jeopardized by the time, you know, the two-year gap. But it doesn't matter, because, I mean, the game still looks damn good, even by what they show us today. For an MMO, it looks great. You know, for any RPG, it looks great. And as I said, though, it being Star Wars, I don't think it has anything to fear as far as going up against WoW. If there's any type of MMO that can... I'm not saying it's going to win against WoW. That's stupid. But if there's any MMO that has potential to actually go up against WoW and make a decent foothold, it's going to be the Star Wars franchise. So I think 2012 is not a bad time for the thing to come out.
Agiguy gets the point. Fixer, Star Wars Galaxies says hi.
All right. I realize that, but we're also talking about
BioWare.
Exactly.
I know, but still, you can't just start the brand name won't get you there by itself. Next.
You did put me in my place. I'll give you that one, so.
Next.
Good job.
Fixer. The Inception video game. Good idea or bad?
Bad. Why? How is that a game? That's not a game. That's a serial type of movie. You know, it's very cerebral. It gets in your head. That's the whole point of it. What can you build out of a game? I don't want to dig too deep into the plot in case nobody's seen it yet, because the movie's about to come out day before your birthday, actually. So I don't want to get into the plot or anything, but what they do in the movie, you know, there's some action sequences, sure. And there's even one scene that reminds me a little bit of Call of Duty. You know, the snow scene. I'm not saying anything more than that.
Which was kind of seemed like an out-of-place scene for me in the movie. But that's digressing.
But, I mean, how do you... something that's built on what goes on with your mind. You know, it's a mind-raping type of movie. You know, it makes you think. You leave that movie theater going, is this what happened? Is that what happened? Is this what happened? I don't know. No, it's not going to make a good game. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
AJ.
So, Kevin, you're saying that video games cannot make you think?
No, I'm not saying that because I'm a big fan of Metal Gear Solid. And Metal Gear Solid 2, I'm actually in that game, and that game makes you think.
Fixer just fixed your rhetorical question, so take that.
All right, fine. Anyway, to move on with my actual point, I think it could work. I mean, they said that the game, it's not the events of the movie. It's, like, in the universe and everything, and that's fine. What I picture is basically take, like, the concepts of Echo Chrome and just kind of tart it up to be, like, you know, a big AAA kind of big-budget experience. You know, something that's almost like the controls of, like, a Prince of Persia or an Assassin's Creed within the dream worlds where all this crazy shit's happening. It could still have the deep plot and everything like that. And, you know, because it's not tied to a movie release and they can actually take their time, it would almost be like a Chronicle of Riddick situation. We were just taking the IP and making a new experience based in that world. For those reasons, I actually think they could pull off something cool.
Point to Fixer for maximum fixing.
That figures.
Edge Guy.
Hey,
game installs.
Who's the only person in this podcast who's ever been in a video game?
That's true, Edge Guy. He's been in a video game. He was in Metal Gear Solid 2 Substance for the PS2.
That is a AAA title. Whether you like it or not, that's the AAA title.
It's true. It's huge. Game installs, Edge Guy. Nice way to decrease load times or annoying inconvenience?
It's both.
Edge Guy.
I know. Hang on. I'm going to clarify. There needs to be a solution that is basically like what WoW is doing with its patches, where you can, and I think GT5 lets you do this, at least part of it, where you can start playing and it installs in the background while you're playing.
I'll elaborate on this.
Either that, or they need to at least let you, like how you can do with a download for a 360 game, like let it, like, you start the download, turn off the system, it stays on low power till it's done, then shuts off. If you could do that with an install. Because as it is, and it's the problem, like, you know, it's the same thing you hear with PS3 users who, like, don't play their PS3 or their PSP for a while, and then when they turn it on, they have to patch it. And by the time they get that all done, then the game needs a patch. And then by the time all that's done, they don't want to play the game anymore. Especially when you get, like, you get home, you got your brand new copy of GT5, you're all psyched, you're going to pop it in, you're like, oh, I better do the install, and it takes 45 minutes. I mean, yeah, it's that one time when you're done, but for that first time, when it's the first time you're going to play a game, it's a huge just buzzkill, I guess. I mean, I like it in general. I generally do install my games, but what I end up doing, like, on the 360 where any game can be installed, when I first start playing it, like, that first time, I don't install because I just want to play the game. Then when I'm done, I'll, like, start the install, go do something else, and turn it off later. So I just feel like they need to have a way, like I said, to let it passively install so you can start playing your game, but then get the install benefit later.
Thanks, sir.
Actually, I pretty much agree with this one. Pretty much, installing games, it's the good found in the evil. Because just like he said, when you're waiting for a game, and you get home, you want to pop that thing in, you want to get going. But unfortunately, you have to install it. But the thing is, with the way how games are today, they're so technical, they're so graphical, you know, the sound's immaculate. You know, games are getting huge today. You know, this is, in my opinion, the golden era of gaming. And what you're looking at is when you can install a game, you can decrease the load times, which definitely helps, because I hate sitting and having to wait, you know, especially, like, I don't want to pick on Half-Life series because, you know, both those games are a little bit older now, but it gets kind of annoying when you walk past an invisible line and all of a sudden the game has to load. It just breaks the pace of the game. So allowing a game to install kind of gets rid of that problem, which I really do like. But like Ajgai said, I totally agree with that. That's a great idea. And I'm going to elaborate on how Gran Turismo does that a little bit later on. But installing part of the game, and then as you start playing it, after it gets past a certain point, why can't you play that, you know, and as it still unpacks itself. But, yeah, I'm going to say, unfortunately, the way how games are today and how massive they are, how much space they take up, installing is the way to go. I just wish that there was a better way to go about it. So that's my opinion on it.
No points to anyone. You guys, you have to pick one. That's the point of the
I
game.
I did pick one.
You started your thing with...
I outright said I pick the installs. Thank you.
I said but. I had a but in there.
No points.
All right, fine. No points.
Fixer. Michael Jackson game. Interest or no interest?
Absolutely not. I never liked Michael Jackson. The only thing that's even compelling about Michael Jackson is the fact that the Bad video was directed by Martin Scorsese. All right, cool. You can do, you can dance to his music with the Wii remotes. Oh boy. This is just a new, I want to try having a new music game that will try selling. Sure, this guy's popular. I agree. He's very popular. He sold hundreds of millions of records. Congratulations. But, unfortunately, we're in the decline of music games. Yeah, you're not holding a plastic guitar, but you're still holding a plastic controller. If you're really going to make a music game based on Michael Jackson, as much as I really don't care for the technology, release it on the fucking Kinect, not the fucking Wii. Alright, that's all I gotta say.
AJ.
It is coming to Kinect and PlayStation. Those versions just got delayed.
Oh, I did not know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Additionally, I mean, yeah, there's the whole music gaming is dead, but Just Dance, super popular. And this is basically just the Michael Jackson Let's Dance game. So I think it'll do well. Me, personally, I think it's cool. I like Michael Jackson. I like, you know, it'd be fun. I know I'm not going to actually do the thing where you stand flat on your feet, bend your ankles.
You are going to grab your balls. Ankles. Shut up.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, if I were to try a dance game, I'd be more apt to go with the Michael Jackson one. I'll put it that way.
All right. Point, Adjugate. Come on, Fixer. You can't hate Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, don't actually rebuttal that, but you can't.
I don't like Michael Jackson. But anyways, that's personal preference.
Constraints. I'm going straight to the lightning round.
All right.
All right.
Guys, ready? We're up. We're 3-2, Adjugate, right now. Fixer, lightning round. I have 5. I go right in a row. There's no turns. Speed counts in the lightning round, okay? You have to say your answer as fast as possible. Got
just
it?
Just a one-word answer. There's no explanation.
One-word answer. All right.
Just which one you pick, okay?
Which one I like better.
Yes. You guys ready?
All right.
Black or white?
Black.
Black.
Wars or Trek?
Trek.
I didn't even hear that. What'd you say?
Enterprise B or C?
B.
B.
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree or Jingle Bell Rock?
Jingle Bell Rock.
Pandas or koalas?
Pandas. Pandas can kill a fucking koala. I'm picking a panda. And I honestly, I didn't hear what the hell you said.
Do you remember koala yummies?
No, but I know Kung Fu Panda.
Fixer's right. Kung Fu Panda.
He is right.
Panda was the correct answer on that one. And Fixer wins.
Yeah!
Fixer wins. Yeah.
On this day, I can see clearly.
And he's singing Edge's theme song. Yes, yes. Oh, that's great. Yeah.
What's the final score?
Final score was only at 3-4-2-5.
And I even missed one. Come on.
Jeez.
I didn't even hear Mike on one.
You both lost on the Enterprise B or C. The correct answer was C.
Damn it.
Because it was a later model? Well, I was going nostalgic.
This is nostalgic. Neither of them were in more than one anything.
And it self-destructed with pride.
All right, guys.
I don't know if
it did
or not.
I'm just
guessing.
All
right.
Do you want to do GT5 first?
Yeah, let's let Fixer talk about GT5.
All right.
Don't take too long.
I'll try not to.
Because I know you would talk for 3 hours if we let you.
Vlad the Impaler is back. The great series of Gran Turismo. is once again out. Basically, Gran Turismo.
This really doesn't sound like it's going to go on for a while with an introduction like that. I just wanted to say.
I'm sorry. I read somebody's message on Skype. So that's what took me so long. I was just, buying time. So go do your thing. Anyways, though, with Gran Turismo, though, it's not just a series. It's a franchise. So, I mean, it's the hype was huge. So to understand why there was so much hype to begin with this game, let's go and understand why it's not just a series. It's a damn franchise. I mean, you're talking about a game that is collectively sold, and if you do count bundled systems, it is the highest-selling PS2 game. This thing has sold about 57 million copies altogether. The series started out with just a simple idea. It was back when Sony Computer Entertainment was new, and everybody from the CEO to the janitor of the building had to write in an idea clause. Kazunori Yamauchi, a young programmer at the time, wrote in, "I want to drive my car on my TV." Thus, Gran Turismo came to be. The original one, while it was just a concept, I mean, it had a couple licenses for cars. It's obviously the smallest car list. No licensed music whatsoever, at least in the American version. And it sold. It sold so well that 2 years later there was a second one. And a year after that, a third one. And then 3 years later, 4 years later, I'm sorry, a fourth one. Then 6 years later, obviously, we have the fifth one now.
So I have some questions.
Go for it.
Let me ask some questions here. So first of all, like, aside from the graphical improvements, does the game itself have a fundamentally better feel than, like, GT4?
Yes, yes. The physics are definitely improved. Absolutely improved. They feel a little bit more realistic. The power sliding feels a little bit more right with it, I should say. The G-Force, when you're going through and pushing the apex, if you push it a little bit too far, you're not going to make it. And if you, the physics engine in this game is vastly improved on number 4. It definitely feels like a PS3 title compared to a PS2 title. That's one thing I have to say for it. Moving on, though, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the franchise, and I'm going to start jumping into 5 and different things, and I'm going to be a fair critic with this one, because there's things that don't impress me with this game. Okay. But there's many things that do. To understand why this is, I consider this not just a gaming series, but a franchise, you also have to look at everything that this franchise has accomplished. It is something that, besides having a massive number of game sales, it is actively a participant in the automotive industry. Right. For instance, I went to a race in Sebring, Florida. I went to the 12-hour International Raceway of Sebring. And it's a Le Mans prototype race, and they had their own booth there. And one of the cars that was running around in the GT1 class was a Porsche 911. It was racing modified, but the sponsor was Gran Turismo. So there was a lot of Gran Turismo memorabilia floating around the whole race. Besides that, I mean, you have something right now called the GT Academy, where you play the damn game. You play the game. And if you have one of the top time, as far as like a time trial, around a track, you get invited to a tournament. You win the tournament, you place yourself on a racing school. You win the racing school, you become a professional race driver. That's huge.
That's cool.
Not only that, I mean, like, Kazunori Yamauchi goes to different, he goes to different car shows around the world. Big ones, too. And when a car wins, and, like, basically his award, he picks, like, his favorite car out of the bunch. And when he does, your car appears in the game. So you actually get the honor of not only winning a prestigious award, but you also get put into the video game.
Well, I mean, is that special when there's that many cars in the game?
Yeah. I mean, like, these are premium model cars.
1 in 1,000. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are premium model cars, too. You don't just get a standard car. You get a premium model. Okay. So, yeah.
So, yeah. Break that down for you, because I didn't even know about that till like a few days ago. I read it, and that kind of baffled me.
Well,
there's like this distinction between standard and premium.
Sure, standard cars, there's 800 plus strong. You know, there's a lot. These are cars that have appeared in Gran Turismo's before, or that's basically what it is. It's cars that have been through this franchise before, where the premium models, you know, these are typically new. Although I have to admit the weird inclusion of the Bugatti Veyron, which to this day is the most expensive car you can buy, street legal. That's a standard car. I don't get it. And so, it's also like, the fastest car in the world.
Are these standard car models, like, did they just take them from, like, the like GT4 and up-res them, or did they rebuild them but only build them as standards?
You know, honestly, it could go either way, because, I mean, there's times when you look at them and they're truly ugly. I mean, I showed Mike last night when we played this game.
They certainly look like up-res PS2 models to me.
There's no 3D quality to this, you know what I mean?
Like, that's kind of a rip-off sounding to me.
Well,
like when they go on and on.
For all the years
about
of development.
Yes, yeah. I mean, you have to realize the detail level that is in the premium models, it vastly... Like,
that's just fine. Like, I understand it. I don't understand. Like, I don't think... I'm sure this would piss off, like, 1% of people. But I'd rather it be like, look, we're going to put 300 cars in this game, but they're going to be, like, immaculate. Because here's the thing. Like I said before, I can't think of one person who's going to erase every single car.
You see, they did this before.
Game.
They did your idea before. Gran Turismo 2 has a lot more cars than Gran Turismo 3.
People
so,
bitched a lot.
Yes. People really? Bitched. They're like, really? I can't drive this car that was in Gran Turismo 2? Okay, I don't care if it didn't get the graphical upgrade. I want to drive my damn car that I absolutely love.
So this is gamers' faults then?
Yeah,
it's more gamers' fault.
Okay.
This is the Gran Turismo community's fault. I have to honestly admit it and blame it on that. Beyond that, though, the premium models, like I said, are just beautiful. I mean, they have reflection modeling that's just... It's great. I mean, everything about that, it just looks... This is what it would look like if you were standing in front of it. With the exception of the shadowing. The shadows have...
I heard the shadows are rough.
Yes. That is, honestly, it's not pretty. It's got a lot of anti-aliasing. When you're also sitting in the in-car view, and you look through, like, the different, like, rear-view mirrors, like, you know, the rear-view mirror or the side mirror of the car, the reflection is just crap. I don't understand how. I mean, why can't it just be just a reverse image of what you're looking at?
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand one of the reasons for it is it had to do with the dynamic time of day in the game. Because like,
most of the tracks are just daytime, though.
Yeah, but like the sun, the position of the sun is actually rendering the shadows, whereas in previous games, it was just like, this is where the light source is. It actually is a dynamically changing light source. I guess that, like, I was...
That is true.
I don't know with for sure
and
that's it, but that's what I was reading it is.
I realize that, but that only really comes into effect when you actually have a course, because there are only certain courses that do this, with the dynamic day-night cycle and the weather-changing cycle.
Wait, so not every course has that?
No.
Oh, come on.
No. Majority of the courses do. There is a version of the course. Like, you can't just go, I want to drive the Laguna Seca, and instantly I choose...
time of day, weather, everything.
Nothing like that. You have to choose... there's a standard version, and then there's the one with the weather effects, and there's the one with the day-night cycle. So it's... That's how they map it out. Just so... I mean, it's probably... My guess why they did that is because it is... The RAM on the PS3 is honestly heavily taxed with this damn game. Right. And a lot of people are honestly saying, if you want, and I'm going to get into this later as far as the sound goes, if you want the game to load faster and not as long load times, basically, what I'm getting at here, turn off your custom music and the game will load quicker. Because, I mean, the game is just being, especially when you have 16 racers in the game, it's being taxed. Moving beyond that, though, beyond the visual presentation, like I said, it's not perfect, but there's cars that look beautiful, and there's cars that look high-res PS2, basically.
Can you say, like, an overall statement? It sounds a little disappointing that what is basically the first game in the series for the, you know, this generation of consoles, it seems like a bit sad that they've already pushed the system almost more than it can go, it seems.
Yeah,
like
they really
were able
they,
to make the like, game where, they wanted to still. Like, maybe they should have just sat this generation out.
Like, where do you go from here?
basically, what I'm going to have to rebuke with that is every single Gran Turismo has done this before. Well, I mean, the past two consoles. The first one was heavily outweighed by the second one. If I were to literally post on this on this podcast the intro video to Gran Turismo 2 and compare it to Gran Turismo 1, you'll be like, wow, that's a huge difference. Same thing goes with 4 to 3. So, yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing, dude. I mean, Gran Turismo like 1, Gran Turismo 3, they came out relatively early in that console's life cycle.
3 did.
Like, we're kind of getting to the end in a lot of ways.
Who knows?
Like, I mean, if Gran Turismo 5 took them 6 years, are they really going to get another one out before the PS3's done?
I think they could. Honestly, if they use the same, if they didn't really heavily modify like the physics and the overall visual quality, and they just build on it and learn how to compress it better, sure, I think they could do a number 6.
But then that just sounds like it'd be 5.5 to me.
Yeah, like almost like a prologue.
Yeah.
But
see, I mean, I guess here's my question, because I can't believe I'm going to say this, but it sounds like the game's not done yet.
You know, in a way, it doesn't. I can agree with that.
I got to play it with Fixer. And, you know, there's a lot of things to beat up on. Like, say, well, this isn't good. And this game's an easy target because of all the delays and because of all the promises for perfection. But what is there? And, you know, it definitely is a very gorgeous game.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to see why a car enthusiast could spend a lot of time with this game and be.
You gotta look at this game differently. This is not just a car game. This is actually technically a car PG. You literally level up. You level up in this game.
That's awesome.
This is a car PG.
Right.
You start off.
I mean, you level up in a lot of racing games. I mean, I'm leveling up in Need for Speed right now.
Exactly. People were bitching about, like, oh, they have that damage modeling. Well, it's not at all present. Well, that's because you're not high enough level yet, dumbass. You suck. The game's teaching you how not to suck. When you start actually proving yourself literally to the game, the game is going to let you have a little bit more leniences. It's going to start letting things like nighttime happen. It's going to start letting things like where damage modeling will happen. Eventually, you'll get to a point where it's not just scrapes anymore. It's actually going to turn into vehicle deformation. Eventually, vehicle deformation is actually going to turn into mechanical damage.
See, here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. Like, I understand, like the physics of damage in this game, but in a day and age where you have a game like Burnout or Need for Speed Shift or Forza, where if I ram a car at 160 miles per hour into a wall and it gets crumpled, and then in Gran Turismo, if I put that game in, push race, ram into a wall, and the car's pristine looking, for the casual player, or even
But see, you should never be doing that, though, is kind of the argument.
See, the point of Gran Turismo is that we don't want you to do that. We want you to fucking drive like you're actually trying to race. The point of this whole series was never to wreck. And the fact that people actually use the other AI cars as bumper cars is just, it's honestly just mocking the series. And when you get to,
I understand, but it's also supposed to be this very realistic simulation. So in a lot of people's minds, if I'm hitting this wall, this car should crumple. It's a simulation.
I understand what you're going at by that. But you also got to realize, too, that this is a perfectionist type of game where they don't want that to happen. They don't want you to, all right, I can wreck. I don't care. No, they want you to, I want to brake hard, and then I want to go through the turn, push the apex, and then as I'm leaving the damn turn, I want to go flat out. I want to pass my opponent. I don't want to do the NASCAR run a guy into a wall. You know, I want to draft a guy rather
I guess it's
than.
Just, it's just the difference of like.
Yeah, it's really
a game telling you how to play it rather than you buying your game and then doing what you want.
That's honestly the best way I can describe it.
Tell you how to play it.
Yeah, but
I know, but like, I mean, the point of Gran Turismo really is to do your missions and go from point to point.
Yeah, and honestly, one thing I do like about this one, though, to add in real quick. Is every Gran Turismo previous to this one, if you wanted to advance, you had to do the license test. You don't necessarily have to do the license test in this one. It teaches you how to drive, which is the perfect thing. You know, if you want to learn how to do a hairpin turn without breaking the line, go for it. If you want to learn how to do a blind turn, go for it. If you want to learn how to do the perfect stopping distance within 400 meters, the game will have you covered. If you want to learn how to do the Nürburgring in the perfect format, the game has you covered. But you're not obligated to do that. All these things do is add to your trophy collection in-game, not the PlayStation earned trophies. And it teaches you how to drive, like I said. And the way how you advance to do harder races is you level up. That's why, instead of just forcing you to do well on your license test, which has always been extremely hard, ever since the first one, the game will rather have you do these driving schools that will also teach you how to drive in the various forms of the races that are provided on the video game. And when you do those, they level you up greatly, and they give you a lot of money, they allow you to buy the different various cars. So that is honestly what's really made this one better, especially if you are not the hardcore car enthusiast. If you were just somebody who, like, yeah, because, I mean, like, this game is not always the hardcore crowd. This game just sells. I mean, it's always been proven ever since number one. This game moves consoles. So even the casual crowd, kind of like, just like the Madden crowd, this game moves consoles. And this is obviously showing no signs of slowing. The same things just happened last week in Japan. Basically, with that, it's going to be open more to the casual gamer. And eventually, it's going to, you know, they'll get good at the game, and they can start taking their skills online to face each other.
See, it feels like the argument you have for people playing this game is like counter to the argument, Mike, that you gave me about the Keyboard Pro support in Rock Band 3. You know what I mean?
Explain.
Like, yeah, if you spend the time, you're going to learn keyboard, but who's going to do it? that is what you
see,
said.
See, that's the thing about Gran Turismo. People will do the time to learn it, and people will keep playing.
You honestly think if I go grab a guy who plays Madden...
Here's the difference. I can feasibly get a keyboard for pretty cheap and just play the piano.
You can't.
It's pretty hard to go buy a Mercedes-Benz and race it around.
You can't buy a 90,000 Nissan GTR. Most people can't.
I just feel like you're telling me the game is not there for you to run around and have fun. It's you got to sit
but
down.
But you also got to
listen. Last word, Fixer. We're moving on. Fixer gets the last word.
You got to look at the beauty of this game like this. Basically, Gran Turismo is the game where, yes, if you want to be able to drive the vehicle, this is how it's going to react. The only thing that comes close at all, and I'm not even poking fingers at Forza, because Forza honestly is a good game. I've played it finally. I liked it. It's fine. You know, one thing I liked about it over Gran Turismo is the fact that it has the dynamic customization of the cars and the dynamic driving line. But beyond that, the only thing that even comes close to Gran Turismo, as far as realistic goes, is the various ones you're going to find on the PC. And obviously with that, you're going to have to buy a very expensive gaming rig because they're absolutely beautiful. You're going to have to buy the wheel, because who the hell wants to drive with a keyboard? Nobody. So, Gran Turismo offers you the best of both worlds. It's still very good-looking. It may not be as good as the PCs, but it's very good-looking. But at the same time, you do not need to go out and buy a wheel, unless you absolutely want the best precision. But if you are, like, a majority of the crowd out there who do get into Gran Turismo, you can see what the Ferrari 458 Italia drives like without actually having to buy it. And obviously when you go to a Ferrari dealership, they don't do test drives. You buy the damn vehicle. There's no such thing as I want to see what this drives like before I buy it. No, it doesn't work that way. So if you want to test drive the 458 Italia, if you honestly are even considering it, let's say you do have a lot of money, play Gran Turismo. You'll see what the 458 Italia will actually drive like. If you like it, go out and buy it. That's what the beauty of Gran Turismo is. And that's why I think that this game will do well.
All right, then. Okay. Well said, Fixer. That was
I played a racing game this week.
Wait a second. I just want to say, Fixer was almost somewhat adorably nervous about talking about Gran Turismo. I think he did very well.
There was more I wanted to talk about, too. Can I add one more thing into it?
You can't add anything.
I want to add one thing. It'll be quick.
You can write an article about it on Bitmob.
It'll be quick. I promise it'll be less.
No, 30
seconds.
At the end.
30 seconds. 30 seconds.
Fine.
Go.
Okay. Basically, far soundtrack goes, yeah, it blows. Who the hell cares? Because you know what? The game has custom modification as far as soundtrack goes. You put songs in your hard drive.
Yeah, but you just told me to turn that off.
Yeah. It's up to you. I don't.
All right.
Okay.
So, yeah, so, I'm racing down the fucking Nürburgring with Iron Maiden. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
So, Need for Speed. After I only played like one race last week.
How is this game? I'm honestly interested.
We still have to talk about Epic Mickey. Hurry up.
We
Epic
will. Mickey I'll save that for last. Need for Speed, I started playing more of it. I actually got out my wheel for it, too, which was exciting.
What wheel do you have?
It's freaking sweet. The official Xbox one.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. The game is so good. I got to get into more of like, the whole social stuff where like it always shows you like what scores you have. And actually what it does, as you're playing, it meters how well you're doing in the game, and it'll recommend which of your friend's score you should be trying to beat on each race. So, like, it's not always saying you have to get number one, but, like, it'll tell you, like, you know, to get some bonus points towards your career, try to beat Angry Jet, or, well, he's Sonic Funkstar's score on this track, or try to beat Z-Golf on this one, even though it's not the top score. So, and if you miss it, you are retrying that race. There's no way around it. It's infuriating if you don't beat your friend's score. So that's really cool.
It's like me and the Nürburgring.
Yes. There is there's two basic soundtracks to this game. There's when you're just doing the races, it's like the typical EA Tracks licensed stuff. But then when you're doing any of the pursuit modes, it's like it's kind of like almost like Split Second, where it's this kind of dynamic orchestral score. I really wish there was a way to just turn that on, because that's really, really good.
Is there any custom soundtrack at all? Anything like you
can... Oh, yeah. I mean...
Xbox has that built in. Dude.
Yeah, Xbox, every game does. I think the PS3 does as well. I mean, it's actually in the options menu.
Honestly, I don't think it does. I mean, like, yeah, you can store music in the damn thing, but I have never played a game besides Gran Turismo 5 where you can listen to that, you know, your music over top the game.
I know they exist. Like I said, it was in the options menu, so that makes me think it probably is, and that's why it was there in the 360. There's one mode I really hate, though.
Oh, what's this?
It's one of the cop modes, and like they're called preview events.
I thought this was supposed to be like the premiere of the whole franchise of the cop modes.
No.
It's
not the chase. What it is like, you know, as you're going through the career, you eventually unlock better and better cars. But these preview events, it's like the police department just got a delivery of some supercar that like you're really not going to be driving for a while, but you get to deliver it. So you have to go from point A to point B. It's a time trial, basically. But if you bump a wall, bump traffic, you get penalties.
You create damage.
Yeah, but the problem is you've just been racing, like, you know, Class D cars, and you're given, like, a supercar, so you're not used to how it handles.
No.
And traffic in this game, like, they don't obey that law where if you hear police sirens, you pull over. They just kind of go along, and you will bump them. And you just get these little time penalties, and it's just really frustrating.
It's kind of like complete opposite of Gran Turismo 5.
Gran Turismo 5 would have eased you into that new nice car.
Well, yes. I mean, I had a...
Fine.
I bought a used Mazda RX-7.
No, not talking about GT5 anymore.
And then out of nowhere, I had to drive a Volkswagen bus. That was a downgrade.
All right.
But yeah, the game's awesome. So check out that. Cave Story came out on DSiWare.
Is it the same Cave Story?
Same game.
That's pretty sweet, then.
It's awesome on DSi. Right. I mean, really awesome.
Well, I mean, it's a great game, so.
Yeah, and it's super well. I mean, you get, you know, you get what you expect. The map's on the bottom. All the conversations happen down there. It's just a phenomenal game, and it works so well on the DSi. So I was really happy. I didn't even know it was coming.
Let's talk about Warcraft.
Okay, you want to do Warcraft? It's fucking awesome.
Warcraft's so good right now.
Oh, my God. I have not been this excited to play it since, like, it first came out.
I've been playing a lot of Warcraft the game.
Me too. I progressed in 2 days. I went from level 40 to, what am I, like, 47, 48 right now. It's so good.
I've got my... I rolled a troll. By the way, my sort of handle has always been Torpedo. Fixer.
We just sat through your
Gran Turismo thing. You're going to listen to World of Warcraft in 5 minutes. Listen. So I named my troll Koto.
Very good.
I thought that was pretty good.
I enjoyed it.
And then when I realized it, I was like, oh my gosh. Anyways, I got my
OMG.
Got my troll rogue up to like level 20 today. Which, by the way, you can have a mount at level 20 now?
I got my epic ground mount at 40.
What?
Jeez. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't
That's
it?
That's insane.
I have a Ferrari Enzo.
Shut up. But just like some
I'm
of
your
the
conscious.
Quests, like, the quest I've done in the level 10 through 20 zone.
Yeah, were you in the Barrens or were you go to Ashara?
I went to Ashara.
Yeah, you do those like rockets and the goblin rocket thing.
The goblin rocket thing?
Yeah, like the transport system in Ashara.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. But yeah. Like the quest lines though, like did you do the one where you found the raptor that could talk?
No, I actually haven't done it yet. I just saw the video of that. I've been playing my level 40 rogue mostly this week. I haven't played my low-level troll yet.
But the quest lines, there's one with this raptor. There's this goblin research facility, and they're doing experiments on these raptors. And these raptors have super intelligence now and can talk, and this one's talking to you. And it's talking to you like this very smart thing, like, good evening. I see that you have discovered my location.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Time out. Raptor, as in the thing that ripped off Samuel L. Jackson's arm in Jurassic
Correct,
Park 1.
Like a dinosaur.
That. Yes. All right.
And it says talk to you, it's great.
I kind of like that.
And there was like this really long quest tree where like you pretend to be a mage so you can be this guy's apprentice, and you find this dragon and you do this battle, and it was just really epic, especially for level, like, you know, 19.
Yeah. Well, no, I tell you what, like I did literally every quest in Thousand Needles. It's the most fun I've ever had in an MMO.
Isn't that a move by Kector?
Shut up.
He's right, though, it is. But
anyway, I mean, there was this one whole quest line where you're trying to break into these pirates' hideout to free this gnome who's trapped there, and he needs you to, like, you have to go kill the captain to get the key. Very typical. But you do the boss fight against the captain, which is actually this really cool kind of boss fight that had, like, some puzzle mechanics to it. But when you kill him, he comes back to haunt you as a ghost and will not leave you until you get him resurrected by his ex-wife, who's a witch doctor. So for the next, like, five quests, he's haunting you. And it's hilarious because, like, he'll keep saying things, and the one is like, you want me to stop haunting you? Tough. You have to get me res. Maybe you'll think twice before you kill somebody, or no, you murder somebody just to get a key.
Do you kill him?
No, you res him, and he thanks you and says, next time I see you, you won't be so lucky, and he goes on his way.
I don't like that, because last time I had to deal with a ghost, every single person that killed in the game, I had to walk through down a river, and yeah, I had to kill the final ghost, yeah.
And no more Metal Gear references. Anyway, what's really cool about Thousand Needles, because like the whole conceit of that zone is it got flooded when the cataclysm happened.
Beat him before he casts it, or else you die?
Shut up. Let me finish this.
I'm sorry. No more. No more.
Get fixed. Get fixed.
Yeah, yeah. Very early in the quest chains, you get two items. One is like it's an underwater breathing scuba apparatus that only works in Thousand Needles. You can breathe underwater and swim really fast. And even if you walk on the ocean floor, you go even faster. You also get a ship that you can actually drive around on the surface.
That's pretty cool.
So it's basically a flying zone.
So you actually get an airship in this game. This expansion.
There's flying mounts. I mean, it's not an airship. It goes on the water.
Oh, okay.
It's a normal ship.
Okay, never mind. I'm sorry.
One of those sea ships.
Because some of these quests take place underwater, and some are even, like, in underwater tunnels, but you can breathe, it's basically a flying zone,
well,
you know?
One of the one of the newer zones for past level 80 is, like, a completely underwater zone.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of like a similar thing.
It kind of reminds me of, like, Legend of Zelda-ish. Yeah?
No.
No?
No.
No.
No. Never mind. Well, in theory, it sounds like it. It's maybe not in practice.
You're not allowed to talk anymore about what we're
doing. Yeah, you don't know anything about this. So
yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to prove a point here.
I like how he just screams the metal, yeah, as his rebuttal.
I'm in Tanaris right now, which so far has also been similarly overhauled and is really freaking cool. And I just, it's so good. It's so good.
Yes, it's great. I can't wait for the actual expansion. I mean, I guess, it really makes no difference for you except for the new races.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I'll get to make a war game.
I love racing.
That's like it.
Okay, J. Epic Mickey.
I'm excited for this. I have not played this game yet, so you both fill me in. This is probably going to be my next game. Go.
So, I finally got it this morning. If you're
loser
me on Twitter, you're familiar with my whole saga where it was supposed to come in Tuesday and Amazon fucked up.
But okay, never mind.
So I've only got to spend like 3 hours with it.
Where are you?
I am on Mean Street.
Okay.
No spoilers, please.
He won't spoil anything.
Okay. I won't. Here's the thing. I cannot stop filling in everything with paint. Even though like it doesn't serve a ton of purpose, it gets you guardians, but that's usually full most of the time anyway. But like I'm obsessed with painting everything in this game, and I don't know why.
I have to admit I'd probably be the same way.
Have you found this to be true?
When I played, the damn wolf game where you're the god, you're the wolf. Okami, thank you.
Okami.
I did the same damn thing. I had to make sure every single tree was brought to life, even though it didn't really matter. Go ahead, though.
So are you doing paint or thinner, mostly?
Paint.
Yeah, me too.
I want the good ending.
Right. That's one thing is so far, like, the moral choices in the game, they're pretty black and white.
Well, it's pretty much paint or thinner.
Right. There was only one kind of questionable decision, I guess, I had where it's early, so I feel okay saying this. But basically, you have to find something for Pete, and then you're given the option of giving it to him or giving it to one of the gremlins for a pin. I didn't feel so bad about screwing over Pete, because, let's face it, it's Pete. And, like, that was the only thing that seemed like oh, this could go either way.
But Pete was innocent. Now he can't prove his innocence. I think that was the bad choice. Now
he was innocent?
Good ending.
You asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Might want to restart.
Yeah, I would. See, when I played Knights of the Old Republic, I was a Jewish
Jedi. God damn it, Fixer, quit interjecting games that don't relate to what we're talking about. Anyway,
seriously, though, I think the best ending you won't get unless you do all the good choices.
I will do that. Trust me. I was a good Jedi, but I did never pay a price.
What?
When I played Knights of the Old Republic, I was a good Jedi. I made all the light choices, but whenever it came to commerce, I would always mind trick them and make them give it to whatever the product was for free.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as I figured, and I mean, you probably knew this because you've played it more in the past, Mike, but I mean...
What are you talking about? You went to Disneyland and played it.
Yes. It's just mind-boggling cool to me how much stuff there is for guys like us who know all this Disney stuff hidden in this game.
Right.
Like, I mean, probably no one noticed, except for, like, a select few, that, like, as you're coming out of the Asia part of It's a Small World, the figure on the door is actually, like, a kind of weird puppet thing that's in the ride. Like, I saw that, and I was just like, oh, cool, I know what that is. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's just the fact that the currency in the game is e-tickets, there's pin collecting in the game.
Describe e-tickets to me. For somebody who's not a Disney...
It was what you used to use to get on the rides. There were A through E tickets. E tickets were the good rides, so...
Huh.
I mean, it's all...
So, was this like time stamps, basically?
No, I mean, like, amusement park tickets.
Oh, never mind. I'm thinking too contemporary.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah.
I would have ride this ride at 12:30 and no later, damn it!
No. But, like, you know, I did the It's a Small World boss fight that they showed. I'm now terrified to ever go on It's a Small World again.
Right.
But just
thing.
Even the way like they remix the music to make
it look
creepy and everything.
Very good, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I love this game so much.
What about the camera?
I don't have a problem
with
it.
What? No. The camera's atrocious.
It's not perfect.
It's terrible. The camera will randomly fix itself in a way that you can't see like where you need to go and you can't move the camera. Makes no sense.
Yeah. All right.
I've noticed times where it didn't go like where I would have liked it initially, but I've usually been able to adjust it. I don't know. Maybe I just haven't hit anything yet.
Right. Did you do anything on Mean Street yet?
I did the race for the first gear, and I just went around painting it. And
race?
I also walked up to the partner statue. That cutscene was cool.
Right.
I like races.
One of my problems is kind of the amount of fetch quests and stuff like that. And you start to get into that a bit more in Mean Street.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
And it's just like, you know, you'll talk to someone. They'll just tell you to go talk to someone else to get this or talk to someone else and go get this, stuff like that. Mm. I mean, obviously, I'm definitely enjoying the game. I wonder how much someone not as into the Disney stuff will get out of it, maybe.
This is what I'm wondering. Okay, like, I appreciate Disney. I love Disney, you know. The cool thing about having a niece right now, besides it not being my kid, is the fact that I get to show her these old things, you know, things that I liked when I was a kid. And the other night we just watched Aladdin, and she actually kind of digged it. She was actually a little bit scared of Jafar, which is kind of funny.
As she should be.
As you should
exactly,
be.
Exactly. But to get back on topic, though, I'm not the biggest Disney fan. You know, I'm not like you guys. I appreciate it. I love it. I have a old childhood and history with it. Well, I like it.
Let's talk about Epic Mickey as just a platforming game.
I like
just
platformers.
Just a platforming game.
Yeah.
Crash Bandicoot and, you know, all the...
It's
Baby Mario,
it's
whatever.
Certainly better than Crash Bandicoot.
Yoshi's Island.
If you put it up against Mario Galaxy 2,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't control as well.
It
doesn't look as good.
No. Still looks good, though.
It may
better than I thought it would, actually.
It's Okami, though. It's Okami-like, which I like.
It's kind of Okami-like. See, it does one of those things where it's like, the game's not necessarily linear, but it's a lot of kind of going into... It's like little hubs. World to little hub. Not Hubble, but like...
Mario's,
it's like a bunch of mini open area places, if you know what I mean.
Mario 64 style, kind of like that?
Well, yeah, definitely more Mario 64 than Mario
Galaxy.
Yeah,
kind of.
Kind of-ish, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah. I think I kind of do, too. Unfortunately, I haven't played it yet, but, you know, your description is pretty descriptive, I guess. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. You're doing a good job.
My description was descriptive.
Yes.
So says the fixer.
So says the fixer, rating on the guy who was flown out by Disney to go test the game before it came out.
Yes.
And rode a ride with Warren Spector.
It's true. But, I mean, the game's definitely cool. I will say that a lot of the things I was slightly worried about when I played it at E3 and when I played it at Disneyland, you know, the fears are real. This isn't a perfect game.
No.
This is not a threat for my game of the year. And, you know, maybe I hyped it up to myself so much I said, oh, I hope this is one of the best games ever. It's not that. It's definitely cool, though.
It's like, you know how people have that list of, like, what they'll say is the best game ever made, but then they'll say, but this is actually my favorite game?
Yeah.
Like, this falls into the latter category. Like, I understand the technical shortcomings and some of the gameplay shortcomings, but my God, this, I mean, if we thought Kingdom Hearts was tailor-made for us, this was, like, sewed onto my skin.
And all this, that makes
this is literally
sense.
Tattooed into your forehead.
Yeah.
So your mother will always have to look at it at Thanksgiving dinner.
That's right. The story stuff with Oswald, all that, it works really well. It's all really good.
I like the way the little, like, the kind of animated cutscenes look.
Yeah, they do look good.
They're a neat style.
But no, it's definitely good, and hopefully we'll play it more, and we'll have more to say for next week.
I honestly am excited for it. I've never played it yet, but that's probably going to be my next game.
Sounds good.
And I am not a Disney fan. I am not a kiddie fan, but...
You just said you were a Disney fan.
I said I'm not, like the hard... I don't mean I'm not the hardcore fan like you guys are. I appreciate it,
though. I get you.
Speaking of, everyone should go see Tangled. It's awesome.
All right. You guys, AJ, is there anything else you want to talk about?
What I feel like there is.
The correct answer is no. Going on to the new releases.
All right.
Time to wrap this thing up. All right. Dead Nation.
What about me?
Nope.
What about me?
You talked about Gran Turismo. You're done.
What about me?
You're done.
I want to say something.
Okay, go ahead.
Some say his left nipple is shaped like the Nürburgring. Others say he only reads in binary. Others call him the Stig. If you want to play the Stig, it's only exclusive at the moment. It's not there yet on Forza, but it will be on Gran Turismo 5. Bye, Gran Turismo 5. I'll see you online!
What the hell did he just say?
Don't just keep going.
It's Top Gear humor. If you like Top Gear, you'll understand it.
I'd never seen Top Gear.
Dead what? Nation anyway. Came out for something. I'm assuming PC.
PC.
Disney Epic Mickey for the Wii. Golden Sun Dark Dawn for the DS. Super Meat Boy for Mac. Nailed. PC and 360.
PS3 as
and
well.
And PS3. Death Spank, Thongs of Virtue for the PC. Unbound Saga for Xbox Live Arcade. Deadliest Catch, Sea of Chaos for the Wii 360. And that's about it. All right, everyone, thanks for listening.
Yeah!
You can find more... that gets me every time. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at...
grand-turismo.com/explodingbarrel.
I can't help it. It distracts me so. You can also find us on iTunes and the Zoom Marketplace. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Thank you, Fixer, for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you guys for having me once again.
No problem. It's always a pleasure. Thank you, and we'll see you next time on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Yeah!